and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Wendy Gillette. Former President Donald Trump is way ahead in polls before tomorrow's Iowa caucuses. CBS's Anthony Salvanto says a new CBS News survey shows Trump supporters like his vows to retaliate against detractors.
They like that idea, the idea of punishing or going after his political opponents if he gets into office. These are the kinds of things that give, you know, get the other campaigns to talk about authoritarianism, to talk about, you know, things that are potential threats.
Democratic Minnesota Governor Tim Walz gave his thoughts on the general election on NBC.
Where the choice becomes the binary choice between Donald Trump and disdain for the rule of law and Joe Biden competency in getting things done, that overweighs that.
It will be bitterly cold during the caucuses. Tens of millions of Americans are under winter weather advisories.
I'm Bruce Marcus in Eagle River, Wisconsin. Even many longtime residents aren't comfortable with this type of cold.
I hate it. I work outside every day, all day, so it's really tough.
I think I hate winter.
It's cold. It's too cold.
And staying warm in this weather requires preparation.
Long underwear, shirt, another shirt, long underwear again, jacket, and another jacket.
Bruce Marcus for CBS News, Eagle River, Wisconsin.
Three migrants, including two children, drowned Friday night while trying to reach the U.S. Federal officials say National Guard troops deployed by Texas Governor Greg Abbott did not allow Border Patrol agents to rescue them. Reporter Chris Fox is in Austin.
Hours before the three drowned, Governor Abbott defended his emergency declaration to secure the area.
Texas has the legal authority to control ingress and egress into any geographic location in the state of Texas.
U.S. Customs and Border Protection has condemned the state's actions.
Actress Joyce Randolph has died at the age of 99, Nick Young reports.
Joyce Randolph will be forever remembered as Trixie Norton, wife of Ed, upstairs neighbor to Ralph and Alice Cramden on The Honeymooners.
Alice, I gotta go down to the grocery for some eggs. I just had to stop by and tell you. Ralph, that was a wonderful idea you had.
Together, the quartet created one of the most enduring comedies of American television. Decades later, even Randolph was surprised by its popularity.
We never thought anything like this could happen.
Congress will vote on a two-part spending bill to keep the government running until March. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
I have worked with Leader McConnell. He agrees with me that we should avoid a shutdown. So hopefully we can get this done.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Wisconsin is one of the leading states for vehicle crashes with wildlife. Mike Moan reports now on some ideas to make roads safer.
The National Wildlife Federation says there are more than 1 million such collisions in the U.S. each year, resulting in injuries and deaths to animals, drivers, and passengers. And costs associated with these accidents range between $8 and $11 billion annually. The Federation's Jeremy Romero says another impact tied to all this is the ecological effect.
Roads, fences, development, things like that are all types of fragmentation that decrease connectivity for wildlife to be able to move across the landscapes.
Romero fears the situation could worsen with projections showing higher traffic volumes in the coming years. He points to good news, though, with the federal government rolling out a new $350 million pilot program. States can apply for grants to pursue safe wildlife crossing infrastructure. A 2021 investigative report found Wisconsin has many crossings for smaller animals, but not deer. State officials contend these projects aren't as effective for species in this region. Still, Romero encourages all states to beef up research and look at ways to reduce these collisions. He says drivers can do their part, too.
If you're in an area where you know there's a lot of wildlife, the best thing and the most immediate step you can take to prevent wildlife vehicle collisions is to slow down.
Other tips include keeping an eye out for animal crossing signs and to flicker your high beams when approaching wildlife in hopes of causing the animal to scurry away. The peak time of year for deer collisions is October through December during hunting and mating seasons, but DNR officials say there can be an uptick in late spring when fawning happens. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, wind chill advisory, a low of 9 below and wind chills of 20 below. For Monday, a high of 1 above, wind chills 20 to 25 below zero. For Tuesday, mostly cloudy with a high near 2 degrees, a high near 10 on your Wednesday, and 11 for Thursday. Currently, 1 above.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer.
Thanks for tuning in to the Todd Albaugh Show. This is Aaron, Todd's producer, letting you know that the best of for this week is Wednesday's conversation with Pat Kreitlow, Trigg V. Olsen, and Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct. So enjoy.
Hump Day!
Exactly right. It is Hump Day. It is a Wednesday. That means one thing. It is crossover day. And we are joined by our friend and colleague up north. That is Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio. He is on the air across Civic Media every morning from 6 until 8. And Trigg V. Olsen, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, who joins us from the nation's capital. Gentlemen, happy Wednesday to you. And how much snow do you... Not much snow up there up at Lake Wissota, right, Pat?
No, not much at all. I would barely call it an inch up here on the lake. Just kind of a more of a nuisance snow than anything. We had one friend slip on an icy driveway and break their tailbone. You don't need a foot of snow to say winter sucks sometimes around here.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Is the lake frozen?
Yeah, just because the snow, you know, it hit 32 off and on, and so some of that snow froze and then, you know, slipped on the driveway.
There you go. No Trigg V, I know out east, more rain right now in D.C., right? But these big systems are starting to hit.
Yeah, they are. I mean, yesterday, hard rain. The dog refuses to go out to go to the bathroom.
Oh, jeez. Well, that's tough. That's tough. We kind of took a little bit of a snow day. I looked at some lighter news yesterday, but boy, we are back into it with a lot of serious news. We're going to cover it this hour. Coming up at 20 minutes past the hour, our colleague, Mr. Matt Flynn, a Matt Flynn Direct, whose program immediately follows ours, is going to stop by for about a 10-minute segment, give us his take on this as a legal expert, as an attorney, as a matter of fact. But right now, Pat and Trigg V, I want to start with, and this is kind of the compilation of it from CNN yesterday, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals heard oral arguments in Donald Trump's appeal of the court's rejection of his claim that he has absolute criminal immunity. Former president's presence in court signaled that the issue is exceptional importance. While it's sometimes difficult to predict the judge's questions of where they're heading, the argument strongly suggests Trump is going to lose, and resoundingly. But right out of the gate, Judge Florence Pan, who emerged as the panel's most incisive questionnaire, presented Trump counsel Jack Sauer with a hypothetical that exposed the unthinkable consequences of Trump's extreme position. Could a president who used his official authority to order SEAL Team 6 to assassinate a political rival ever be prosecuted? I heard this audio. It was on Resolute Square, an offshoot of the Lincoln Project, last night, and I was just dumbfounded on this. And I think it's really important for our listeners to hear this firsthand, and then we're going to get Pat Kreitlow's and Trigg V. Olsen's take on this. It's about 2 minutes. Bear with me. This is actual footage of this judge questioning Trump counsel Sauer.
Could a president order SEAL Team 6 to assassinate a political rival? That's an official act in order to SEAL Team 6.
He would have to be and would speedily be, you know, impeached and convicted before the criminal prosecution.
But if you weren't, there would be no criminal prosecution, no criminal liability for that.
Chief Justice's opinion in Marbury against Madison and our Constitutional Tradition and the plain language of the impeachment judgment clause all clearly presuppose that what the founders were concerned about was not.
I asked you a yes or no question. Could a president who ordered SEAL Team 6 to assassinate a political rival who was not impeached, would he be subject to criminal prosecution?
If he were impeached and convicted first. And so
your answer is.
My answer is qualified yes. There is a political process that would have to occur under the structure of our Constitution, which would require impeachment and conviction by the Senate. In these exceptional cases, as the OLC memo itself points out from the Department of Justice, you'd expect a speedy impeachment and conviction. But what the founders were much more worried about than using criminal prosecution to discipline presidents was what James Madison calls in Federalist Number 47, the newfangled and artificial treasons. They were much more concerned about the abuse of the criminal process for political purposes to disable the presidency from factions and political opponents. And of course, that's exactly what we see in this case.
I've asked you a series of hypotheticals about criminal actions that could be taken by a president and could be considered official acts. And I've asked you, would such a president be subject to criminal prosecution if he's not impeached or convicted?
Requirement.
And your answer, your yes or no answer is no.
I believe I said qualified yes if he's impeached and convicted first.
So he's not impeached or convicted. Let's put that aside. You're saying a president could sell pardons, could sell military secrets, could order SEAL Team 6 to assassinate a political rival.
The former president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, who is now the leading Republican candidate for the nomination in this year, 2024, his attorneys are arguing in U.S. court that unless a president of the United States had been tried and convicted in Congress, that president would be immune, even if he ordered SEAL Team 6 to assassinate his political opponent. We'll have Matt Flynn in a little bit to talk about why attorneys would do this in court. But Pat Kreitlow, as I look at the news today, this story is buried. What's going on from a journalistic standpoint and how we covered 2024?
Well, again, the national media, by and large, has learned nothing from their past coverage of Donald Trump. This kind of a response deserves a collective, come on, about what they are putting forward. And they're not. And they're letting other people fill that information vacuum. And so I would like to fill the information vacuum in this way.
Please do.
It's one thing to say that Donald Trump could. She didn't say it. She should just go ahead and say it. Donald Trump claims he can shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue with everybody watching, and that as long as 2/3 of the Senate doesn't impeach him, he can't be charged with a crime. That's the frame we're seeing more or less today. I don't know who to give credit to because I read it someplace else, but let's look at it the other way, with tongue planted firmly in cheek, that what Trump's lawyer is saying is that Joe Biden, who is the president right now, Joe Biden could have Donald Trump assassinated today as long as 34 senators go along with it. That's not democracy. That's a cabal. That's nothing like what the founders intended. You can cite Federalist Papers all day long. A crime is still a crime. And if he's worried, if they're worried that it'll be abused, let's remember what the criminal justice system has. Checks and balances galore. The only reason it's gotten this far isn't a nuisance to Donald Trump. It's because nobody's done as much criming as Donald Trump has done.
Trevi Olson, you've worked on democracy projects around the world, including Eastern Europe. You've dealt with authoritative people and dictators. What say you?
Well, I think Pat articulated some critical points. First of all, can you imagine what that guy would be saying if Joe Biden had done that, right? Mm-hmm. He would be arguing the exact opposite. Second, listen, here's the thing. All these autocrats, whether it's Putin,
Lukashenko, Donald Trump, anyone with autocratic personality disorder, they have a single objective. It's gaining and maintaining power. And they do that through inevitability and fear. And the danger that we have right now, and I was saying this to some other people who were victims of swatting. I don't know if you know what swatting is, but I know several who haven't recently. It's a thing. All of whom are opposing Trump. When dictators are cornered is when they start resorting to violence. When dictators and autocrats feel threatened, that's when they amp up people. And you're seeing that in Ukraine with Putin. You see that with the leaders of Hamas in the Middle East. And we're seeing it with Donald Trump. And they will resort to any rationale for their actions. But we're entering a really dangerous time when somebody who, at least in theory, should be credible, representing a former president of the United States in court, is articulating such abject tomfoolery that anyone who's gotten their, you know, law degree from, you don't even need a law degree to know that that's just ridiculous.
For those that don't know what swatting is, by the way, it's when someone calls in a false claim saying there's an emergency or something happening, or and it calls in literally a SWAT team or police or law enforcement, and nobody really knows who the good or the bad people are, and it puts everybody's lives at jeopardy. It's a false claim. Pat Kreitlow, as we approach we're in 2024, Iowa caucuses are less than a week away on Monday. Wisconsin voters are going to start to look at this, the third district in particular, with Derek Van Orten, who continues, to, as far as I know, to support Donald Trump. But I think it's worthy to point out here, yes or no, people who continue at this point to support Donald Trump, particularly Republican or MAGA leaders, there is, in my mind, they're as guilty of this stuff as the perpetrator himself.
And keep in mind what their defense mechanism is for Derek Van Orden and others. It's simply bravado, or what you might call doubling down. There are so few people right now in Derek Van Orden's position who would embrace contrition to say, you know what, upon further review, this is now a step too far. If people haven't reached the step too far by now, they're never going to. And so the trick here, if you will, the goal here is not to try to get a Derek Van Orden type of person to do better. It's to talk to the voters directly through programs like this and through, you know, campaigns, independent and otherwise, to get that message of, look, this person is going to double down, is going to be, you know, full of themselves and defend Donald Trump to the hilt. Here's what Donald Trump stands for, or here's what Derek Van Orden stands for, or Brian Stile, or anybody else. Is that really what you stand for as an American voter? And I think you will see a lot of people going, oh, no, I never was. I just thought this guy would be a little different back in 2016, but no, not anymore. Now that you really see what he would do with a little more power again.
Pat, I left you all of 45 seconds. I apologize. You had a great interview with Governor Tony Evers at Up North News Radio. One quick takeaway, and where can people find the entire interview? Because I think it's worth it. If they haven't heard it, they should listen.
He did a media blitz with a lot of different outlets, and that's great. So we did more of a speed round, kind of a 20 questions thing. Mm-hmm. And so I'll actually end on that note, asking him his favorite underrated road trip destination. He picked a spot about as far up north as it gets and not what you would normally expect. Oh. So go catch that online and learn where Tony Evers would like to hide out.
Up North News Radio every morning from 6 until 8 with the great Pat Kreitlow. Thank you, my friend. I really appreciate it. Have a great day.
You bet. See you guys.
Pat, we come back with Trigby Olson and Matt Flynn on the other side. Don't go anywhere on Civic Media.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, CarMex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product?
It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwig created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created more than 80 years ago? It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
When I was just a baby.
Welcome back to the Todd Albaugh Show. This is Aaron, Todd's producer, reminding you that today is a replay of this Wednesday's show. We were talking to Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct about some recent developments in Donald Trump's court case. Enjoy.
Just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry.
Welcome back to the Todd Albaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 20 after the hour of 12 noon on Wednesday, January 10th. Excellent selection choice there by Mr. Sommers. Hearing Johnny Cash can mean only one thing. That means our friend and colleague Matt Flynn is close by. Of course, Mr. Flynn uses a lot of Johnny Cash, one of my favorite artists, by the way. Appropriate music there. We welcome in the host of Matt Flynn Direct, which immediately follows our show every day from 2 until 4. Great host, great program, great guy, Matt Flynn. Thanks for joining us. How are you, my friend?
Great to be with you. You and Trigva. This is terrific. I love your show, too.
Well, thanks. It's
glad to have a jump on things right now.
Well, and I appreciate making time because I know you're busy preparing for your show as well. But, Matt, we started the show out by playing the 2 minutes of the actual audio yesterday in the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, in which this attorney, John Sauer, for Trump, is arguing before the court that, to Johnny Cash's lyrics there, that Trump could literally shoot a man or have a man shot, and unless he was impeached and convicted in Congress, Trump's attorneys argue, he would be immune. Basically, absolute immunity. And before the break, Trigvi is telling us that, you know, authoritarians and dictators, this is the kind of stuff they do. I want to get right to it, Matt. From, you are an attorney. You've been an attorney at basically all levels of the court. From an attorney's point of view, why would you use this type of defense for your client?
You know, that's an excellent question. And I thought, quite frankly, that Trump's lawyers dropped the ball. Let me explain. If I were representing Trump, and I would never do it, but let's say you're the guy representing him. If you go into the court and say, essentially, he could order his military to kill a political opponent, and as long as 34 senators didn't vote to convict him, he could get off scot-free. That is so stupid. It's so dumb that people who are not lawyers can see right through it. And, you know, some of the questions those judges could have asked him would have been something like this. Mr. Counsel, do you think that Mr. Trump could order this panel to be killed or the Supreme Court to be killed and still get by if 30, you know, and if he says yes, it's even worse. Here's the law. In the Constitution, there is no basis for this kind of immunity. Something like impeachment and conviction are absolutely separate entities. But secondly, what his lawyers, in my judgment, should have done is, anytime you get backed into saying something so crazy that the average person knows that it's ridiculous, you've got to modify it. And one way to modify this, if they'd asked you that question, you'd say, well, of course he could be convicted, but he didn't kill anybody here. And 200 years of history show a lot of disputes about elections and blah, blah, blah. And this court has to pay extra scrutiny, quite frankly, to what went on here. And now the problem for him is this isn't normal, just disputes over elections. This was absolutely the Green Bay sweep. And I'm not saying he'd win, but you can't be backed into an office saying something crazy. Let's put it that way.
Matt, I want to talk about something that appeared at The Atlantic. George Conway put this out there. Now, a lot of people are talking about it on media. but makes an interesting point that Trump's former set of attorneys back in 2021 during the impeachment trial actually argued the reason not to impeach Trump, that he could still be convicted through the court of law. So it sounds like Trump's own attorneys at one time have undermined this entire argument already.
Right. And not only that, Moscow Mitch McConnell says something very similar, that, you know, that why should we convict him? He can be gotten by a court of law. But here's the legal thing is that prior representations of your lawyers, if you have now different lawyers, aren't necessarily binding on you. Whereas if he'd said it himself, he would be what's called a stopped, E-S-T-O-P-P-E-D. No judge would let him wiggle out of that. Here, he's a psychopath. He's an absolute liar. Everybody knows it. But his lawyers in this case let themselves be checkmated. You know, they let themselves say that essentially he could kill somebody. Nobody buys that. Nobody believes that. And they had a way to ratchet that down a little bit and try to make some sort of cogent argument.
Trigvy?
Well, so my question for you, Matt, is what was he talking about when he was mentioning Marbury versus Madison? Is there some previous ruling that is even remotely connected to this?
When Marbury versus Madison, that's about roughly about 1810, 1812. That was the first case where the U.S. Supreme Court said that they could overturn a law that was passed by a legislature. Remember something, there's nothing in the Constitution that the Supreme Court can do anything, any of this stuff. They were supposed to originally just, you know, private contract disputes and criminal disputes between private people. In Marbury versus Madison, they finally said for the first time, we can invalidate a law. We can invalidate a law. They just said it, but we put up with it now for 220 years, and now there are things like Citizens United and Roe and all this. So bottom line is I have no idea why he thought that was a good idea. It has nothing to do with impeachment. It has nothing to do with criminal prosecution outside of impeachment. It's simply a reference to the Supreme Court's power, which basically they created themselves.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me the entire thing was somewhat political to attempt to confuse anybody who's
right.
Watching. And that's not outside. I mean, I was saying before you came on, listen, autocrats have a single objective, gaining and maintaining power. And it's a completely zero sum game. So they don't care what they have to say to get him off. It isn't. That sounded to me like a lawyer who isn't really operating within the rules of law or trying to find justice. It's simply somebody trying to create political talking points.
Right, and appeal to their client. You know, they have a deranged client, Donald Trump, and he's sitting there sort of nodding and shaking his head. And when they say stuff he likes, even though it's crazy and even though it's political, they're trying ultimately to appeal to the client. But there's no way they can win something on that kind of argument.
Matt, as an attorney who's been in a lot of courtrooms, there's even talk now that Trump may insist on giving part of his closing oral arguments on this case. I mean, I'm not sure if you ever saw the ABC series Boston Legal with William Shatner as Denny Crane, but we're approaching Denny Crane territory here. I mean, to Trigvy's point, this just seems like political theater to gin up people in Iowa for the caucuses next week.
Right. And there was just a ruling this morning by the judge in the civil case in New York that he can't give the closing argument in that case, but that's a civil case. In a criminal case, if he gets up on his hind legs and he says, I want to give the closing argument, the judge will have a harder time stopping him, but that's flat out crazy. You know what it's like? It's like taking out your own appendix with a Bowie knife and you have no anesthesia. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
See, this right here is exactly why you want to tune in to Matt Flynn every afternoon immediately following our show, 2 until 4. You're going to get information, you're going to get entertained, and he's going to take you to the front lines of history. Matt Flynn, thank you so very much. Have a great afternoon. We'll see you at 2 o'clock.
Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you.
Thanks,
stay
Matt.
Tuned. We're back with more Trigvy and your phone calls as well. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Your calls on the other side, the Town Hall Show and Civic Media.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
CBS News Brief. It's almost GOP go time in Iowa with the caucuses set for tomorrow. What does front runner Donald Trump think of who's going against him?
Nikki did a good job. She was okay, but she's not right to be president. I know it very well. The wrong thought process, the wrong policy. And honestly, she's not tough enough.
According to a new CBS election poll, director of surveys Jennifer DePinto tells us
GOP primary voters continue to believe Trump as their best bet to beat President Biden in November. But it's Nikki Haley who leads the president by a wider margin in a general election matchup.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is moving on a bill to avert a government shutdown.
I'm pleading with my colleagues. We must avoid a shutdown. I'm putting legislation on the floor Tuesday that would avoid that shutdown. We need strong bipartisan support in the House and Senate.
He is urging lawmakers on both sides of the aisle to back it. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Lesson learned for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks have one of the best teams in the NBA this year, but recently they went through a slump, losing four of their last five games. They may have hit rock bottom when they lost to the Jazz at home. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
You know, I thought we learned from the Utah game. You know, the threes that we were giving up, and I know it. Some people think it's like cliche, but the only thing you can do is find ways to get better.
Then a few nights later, the Bucks turned things around, and they beat the top team in the Eastern Conference, the Celtics, by 33 points. Griffin on how to deal with a midseason slump.
You can't panic. You can't, you know, make excuses. You can't blame. You got to look at yourself in the mirror, and we did that. And, you know, from Giannis to Dame, Chris, Brooke, all those guys have been tremendous. Bobby Portis. In our meetings. So, you know, we stick together.
That's the Bucks head coach, Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, wind chill advisory, a low of 9 below and wind chills of 20 below. For Monday, a high of 1 above, wind chills 20 to 25 below zero. For Tuesday, mostly cloudy with a high near 2 degrees, a high near 10 on your Wednesday, and 11 for Thursday. Currently, 1 above.
The deep threes.
Deep three right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in and one.
The thrilling victories.
Badgers win it. Oh, did they dig in defensively tonight?
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Fakes the three, sidesteps left for three in the lead. He hit it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner three. Got it again.
It's January, and it's that time of year when the air is cold and crisp. You go outside and decide you do want to build a snowman. You just love winter. You roll a giant snowball for the base, and you start building. You got some sticks for the arms and a hat for his head. You even have the carrot nose and the big button eyes. The chilly air lets you breathe in deep, and then you see it. A big brown puddle starts forming right under Frosty. Oh, oh. That is so gross. What is that? It's your septic tank, and the air's not fresh anymore. Well, before Old Frosty gets renamed Old Stinky for fouling up the neighborhood, you better call Crockett Septic. From Rome to Rudolph, Junction City, Grand Rapids, and Nakusa, all the way to Point Clover, Crockett Septic can handle your septic, holding tank, and porta-potty needs. Call Crockett Septic today at 715-712-3456. That's 715-712-3456. Crockett Septic, where the trucks smell like sweet cherry pie, because nobody wants to smell the other stuff.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
It's fully leaded education talk.
Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on locally grown radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thanks for tuning in to the Todd Allbaugh Show. This is Aaron, Todd's producer, with another reminder that today's a replay of this Wednesday's show. Here's the rest of Todd's conversation with Trigby Olson.
Welcome back to the Todd Allbaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on Wednesday, January 10th, 2024. Mr. Zomer is on the board. Trigby Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, joins us from our nation's capital, as per usual on Wednesdays, talking about this tape that has come out, this audio. It's not really, it's not secret, it's public, but to hear it in real time, and again, we heard it, if you don't follow Resolute Square, it's an offshoot of the Lincoln Project. They do great stuff. They put this audio out last night of Trump's attorney arguing that unless a sitting president of the United States was impeached and convicted, that president was immune from any criminal prosecution. I've heard from Pat Kreitlow and Trigby Olson, and now our friend Matt Flynn as well. What do you think about this? And again, not just the argument, but to me, it's just the audacious behavior and ginning people up. And also, a lot of the mainstream media just kind of, oh, it's just Trump, and pushing it aside. Let me tell you, it's just, we're going to go to the phones in a second. Mark's been holding a long time, but really quickly, Trigby, you worked for you know, big names like Mitch McConnell and John McCain and others. I worked for state guys like Dale Schultz and Scott Klug. We were in the Republican Party for a long time. We have both since left. This is not typical behavior, Trigby.
No, it's not. And beyond the fact that it isn't typical behavior, you just wonder, like, it's so ridiculous. How do people go along with it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the thing, is it's the most disappointing part of it. The willingness of people to just prostitute themselves on the altar of Donald Trump. And for what? Like, at some point, you know, anybody who listens to what that guy's saying understands that's ridiculous. And so, like, why would you go along trying to rationalize it and disgrace your own credibility? That's the thing I don't understand. It's like Lee Stefanik, you know, parroting the January 6th people are hostages. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to know you go breaking into the Capitol that you're violating the law. There's going to be consequences. The Republican Party used to be the party in which we felt like there should be responsibility, personal responsibility. The Trump wing of the Republican Party in many ways has become what conservatives originally were against.
Yeah. 844-967-2789. We'd love to hear from you. A question for Trigby, your comments as well. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. If you don't have it, download it at your Apple or Android device. Just put in Civic Media. It takes less than a minute. It is free. Let's go to the phone lines. Mark from the SAC has been waiting a long time. Mark, thanks for holding on. What say you?
Yeah, thanks, guys. And to quote the Federalist Papers, which I have sitting in front of me right now, my little handy cross-reference book, the president would be elected by the people as an officer by the people for 4 years and be amenable to personal punishment and disgrace. And in this case, amenable means open to. So that Hamilton actually said the president would be actually open to punishment and disgrace if caught, you know, with violation of the law. And part of the duties of president is to make sure the laws, to the best of his ability, that doesn't mean he can't make mistakes, but to the best of his abilities, faithfully execute the laws of the United States, which Donald Trump did not do. I mean, Donald Trump is a perfect example, as Hamilton continued in Federalist 75, that seeking his own, you know, that, and I'm paraphrasing here, but somebody, you know, a avaricious man might be tempted to betray the interests of the state for his own, you know, acquisition of wealth or self-aggrandizement. I mean, that the founders actually warned about some of this stuff. They said the president is not a king. That's one of the things that the people were concerned about at that time. We do not want to have a king any longer. And Hamilton goes to reassure them, the president is not a king. He does not have absolute power. He is a servant to the law, where the king does not necessarily mean to be. And Trump should remember that even kings were held subject to the law, in the case of, you know, Charles I of England and Louis XVI of France, both met the law, when the law caught up with them, they both lost their heads.
Didn't end well.
No, I'm not calling for their execution, right. Trump's execution, but he needs to be held accountable for the law. And these people that, I'm surprised they're you know, they don't get struck down by a bolt of lightning because the arguments that they're making are just so ridiculous. When a guy who's not, I'm not a lawyer, but I actually know how to read the law from, you know, when I was doing an audit and had to read code and statute and put the two together. But, I mean, for these guys to actually say that, the judge didn't just start laughing in their face when they're making arguments like that. I mean,
Mark, let me ask you this, Mark. You're a well-read guy. You've been around a while. You know, you live in a more rural part of the state. Something Trigby and I have talked about. Be interested in your take on this. You know, what is it that you think connects with the average Jane and Joe on the street in rural Wisconsin, even as ridiculous? And you point out very well why it is ridiculous. But when they hear things like this and they still go along and want to follow Trump, what in your opinion do you think it is that clicks at people?
I don't understand it at all. And I grew up in a place far more rural than I live in right now. I mean, I grew up in far northern Wisconsin. We were 15 miles south of Superior, so that it is just I don't understand it. Yeah. I mean, that, and maybe I was politically aware back when I was in, you know, even in high school, I was wondering, questioning why we were supporting dictatorships around the world, like Pinochet in Chile, and when I read about the overthrow of the government in Iran, that in history class, that why we were doing anti-democratic stuff like that,
right.
Then that, and that I do not understand what grafts, how he manages to connect with these people. I mean, it just is alien to me.
Thanks, Mark. Always appreciate the call. Thanks for holding on. If you'd like to join the conversation, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. Trigby, I go back to this, and, you know, you left the Republican Party. I left, around Trump time. I left it a little bit earlier in 2011. And look, I might not agree with Nikki Haley. I certainly don't agree with Ron DeSantis. But there's also Chris Christie out there, or Nikki Haley. There are other choices out there that at least have a shadow of the former Republican Party. But yet Trump is leading in Iowa and the Iowa caucuses, now less than a week away. Nikki Haley is starting to get Trump's lead in New Hampshire down to single digits. But is this why we're seeing this ginning up of the whole immigration border issue? Because if you don't look at the truth, it's an easy issue to mischaracterize and to gin up and to get people fired up.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, it's kind of a stock narrative that the caravans supposedly start heading towards the border right before the election. Mm-hmm. And then the day after, there's no coverage of the caravans on Fox and right-wing right. media, right?
Right.
And, you know, there's a little bit of a demonization of the others that's been built up over a long period of time. Ironically, the whole, you know, immigration issue on some level with conservatives is, well, we're in favor of legal, not illegal immigration, right? Like, mm-hmm. rule of law matters to us, except it doesn't really matter when Donald Trump's claiming he could have SEAL Team 6 shoot people in. I think, you know, you mentioned the primaries. It's going to be interesting to see, because there's two things going on here simultaneously. There's the one piece of me that looks at it from the perspective of somebody who's run presidential primary campaigns. And that side of me says Donald Trump's just going to steamroll through it.
Mm-hmm.
I do think he's got potential problems in New Hampshire. I think Nikki Haley might beat him in New Hampshire. You know, but the polling suggests he's up 30 points in South Carolina, which is the next state, and it's her home state. I will say also, though, in 2000, John McCain won New Hampshire, and George Bush lost 37 points overnight in South Carolina. So things can change fast. The other side of me, though, that understands autocratic actors and their enablers, knows that if the inevitability and invincibility that they use to hold fear is stripped from them, it can evaporate fast. And there's part of me that wonders if Trump gets beat in New Hampshire by Nikki Haley, if it doesn't really start to dissolve fast for him. But the other problem is there's far fewer people like you and I voting in Republican primaries anymore, Todd.
Yeah. Well, and already, you know? And already we see, once again, Trump's going back to the tried and true narrative that he knows and has been, well, he thinks is successful, going back to the birther narrative. He tried to do it on former President Obama before. Now he's going, and Ted Cruz, and now he's going after Nikki Haley, saying that she's not qualified for to be president because her parents were not, quote-unquote, born in or naturalized Americans when she was born. But, of course, she was born on U.S. soil, so that makes her an American, and it's just bizarre.
Yeah, he's just he is just a sad human being.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's just, but in truth, having the perspective from around the world, most of these guys are sad at their core.
I want to play this cut here. We have Chris Hayes from MSNBC. I think he puts it together really well, talking about, again, the rule of law and what the facts are here on Trump. This is Chris Hayes on MSNBC.
They're saying all this out in the open for millions to hear. We've got new evidence suggesting it's a well-thought-out plan. They've thought about it. Last week, when Donald Trump filed his paperwork to appear on the ballot in Illinois, he refused to sign the state's loyalty oath, which states that he would not advocate for overthrowing the government. He signed it in 2016-2020, so it's not some clerical error, but he didn't sign it this time. Trump is telling us exactly what he plans to do. If he loses the election this year, he will try to overthrow the government, and Elise Stefanik is likely to help. Perhaps the most remarkable thing is that he does not think there's any political cost to declaring it openly.
Trigby, what say you?
I think it's pretty clear that if Donald Trump loses, whether it's in New Hampshire or Iowa or the general election, he's going to claim it's because he was cheated. As far as people like Elise going along, I think Elise has demonstrated herself to be wherever she thinks power is, that's what she's going to be. And so I'm not so sure that, that's the thing with these autocrats. Even the people that seem like they would be loyal and they can count on, there's very few of them. The people who are willing to prostitute themselves for Donald Trump are equally willing to prostitute themselves to be something else. And that really at their core, Elise, I worked a lot with Elise in 2012 when she was all in with Paul Ryan and Mitt Romney. And she was the true believer in that stuff. I think Donald Trump has a lot of people around him who, honestly, they're only around Donald Trump because they think of what they can get from Donald Trump. What they don't get, and they seem to not realize, is the price that people end up paying when you get close to those kinds of people. You sell your soul, and it usually doesn't end well.
You bring up Paul Ryan. Of course, he has called out Trump now repeatedly, and he is a never again Trumper. Former Republican Party Chair Andrew Hitt now under oath saying that Trump lost the election in 2020, will not vote for him, will not attend the RNC convention in Milwaukee if he is the nominee. Meanwhile, you have sitting Republican Congressman Brian Stiles, Ryan's successor in Janesville, and Derek Van Orten in the 3rd Congressional District. You have our longtime friend Brian Schimming, who's now the chairman of the Republican Party. Look at Wisconsin for a second, Trigby. Give us your perspective. What does this do to Republicans in Wisconsin? I mean, Robin Voss is being attacked as a fraud now. I mean, Robin Voss is now being seen as a rhino by some of these people.
Well, I think, the problem that these kinds of situations create is it creates a time for choosing, and you have an awful lot of people who want to be somebody. They want to be in Congress, and they're going to have a choice at some point where it's the choice is Donald Trump or democracy. The choice is going to be Donald Trump or the Republican Party. It's just the way it works.
We'll come back, talk a little bit about top risks of 2024 and Aaron Rodgers. What up with that? Stay tuned. It is the Todd Allball Show, and Trigby Olson and Aaron Zomers on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
Whether you're a do-it-yourselfer or professional technician, Auto Value is committed to providing the parts you need and the service you deserve. Auto Value Parts Store. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts. Your school can earn up to $10,000 this year. Just save the UPCs from the Country Hearth products your family already enjoys. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. That's loavesforlearning.com.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on Locally Grown Radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR. And on the Civic Media app.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thanks for sticking with us on the Todd Allbaugh Show today. It is a replay of Wednesday's conversation with Trygve Olsen, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, about Donald Trump's latest efforts to get off scot-free. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Todd Allbaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. See, the chat continues. If you want to listen to the chat, even when we're not going over the air, you can always follow us on the stream, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. We enjoy talking so much, we just keep it going during the break. So, you know, you can always tune in there. And as Paul Harvey says, the rest of the story. 51 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. Always enjoy having Trygve Olsen, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, with us on every Wednesday. Trygve, coming out here last 24 hours from this group that Ian Bremmer heads, were the top risks.
Eurasia.
Yes, thank you. The top risks of 2024. And according to them, the world's number one risk this year, the United States versus itself. Here's what he says. Bremmer says, quote, with the outcome of the vote essentially a coin toss, at least for now, the only certainty is continued damage to America's social fabric, political institutions, and international standing. Unquote. I caught him this morning on CBS Mornings, and he say, look, our allies around the world, they are very concerned about what's happening in the United States. And there are other big elections this year. Mexico is one of them, I know. Other places around the world. Those are being seen as more stable and more certain for a peaceful transition of power than the United States.
Correct. You know, Ian's a smart guy. I know Ian a little bit from long ago. I've said on other platforms, I've maybe said on this one, the thing that we all need to fear isn't just democracy perishing in the United States and what that would mean for us in the United States. Mm-hmm. What we really need to think about is what that would mean for the world in which we live in, because that world would be a very, very uncertain and scary place. And we're already seeing vestiges of that in events that are happening around the world. Mm-hmm. Chaos here and instability in what has been the shining city on the hill and the anchor of the post since the end of World War II of peace, prosperity, relative peace and prosperity, unprecedented peace and prosperity in the history of humanity, that's now being called into question. And if people go back and look at what the world was like before 1945, it was a far more dangerous place. It was a far more uncertain place. It was a far more zero-sum place. Mm-hmm. And that uncertainty, and, you know, I preach Old Testament is a big piece of my life. And I tell you, I don't know how we get through November 6th to January 20th. Right now, without having it be really ugly.
Yeah. I think to give
people, regardless of who wins the presidential election.
Right. You're right. Regardless, because whichever side loses, it ain't going to go well right now. Hopefully that will change. Let's give people a little bit of hope in that. I agree or disagree, Trygve. The best way to make sure the democracy lives in America is to get out and participate And also, if you're able, work at a polling place. Because right now, the intimidation factor for poll workers and other... somebody made this point yesterday, maybe Matt Flynn was making it, that the next election, it isn't going to be January 6th, again, necessarily. It's going to be trying to be, intimidation at the polls on election day. So getting out and vote is the best way to save democracy.
Yeah, I think, I would always say to people fighting for democracy in places around the world, each of us has to ask, what can I bring to the table for this to help defend our democracy?
Yeah.
And each of us has skills and things that we can bring to it. And voting is one that we all have. But beyond that, for some, it can be volunteering in a polling station. For others, it can be going out and talking to your neighbors and knocking on doors. Mm-hmm. For some, it might be, they have certain specific skill sets that they can bring. But each person has to ask, what can I do to try and make the situation better? Because really what democracy depends on is faith in each other, mm-hmm. At its core, right? Even people you disagree with. And so, what they want is for, and this is true of all of them, they want us to be afraid of each other.
Yeah.
We can't allow that to happen. And I think, it's why I say, Todd, all the time, the one thing that I hold onto in my daily life is I understand the politics runs of democracy succeeding or failing in the United States and what that means for my kids' future and, the world. It runs right through Wisconsin. It runs right through Richland Center. It runs right through River Falls. It runs right through Madison. And I know people there are people who have faith in each other who they disagree with. I know that they're the people who, because I just went through this. My mom was a diehard Republican. Diehard. But you know what? We had people who completely disagreed with her politically who taught they're bringing us casseroles when she was sick.
Yeah.
Because that's who we are. We can't become Donald Trump or that knucklehead who is trying to suggest in court that, presidents can do whatever they want.
Let's go quickly to the phone lines. Matt in Middleton, just a couple of minutes left. Do you have a quick question or comment for Trigvy? Go ahead. Matt, you're on the air. Yep, Matt, you're on the air. You got something quick for Trigvy? Hey. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask what you thought, what was really behind the MAGA and what's driving it, because I originally thought it was kind of Tea Party 2.0 and it was economic and it was this and that, but through my own personal experiences with my family and others, it seems like it really is all about immigration. And the uncomfortableness that a lot of these white folks have with diversity, especially after Obama was elected, you had the rise in white militia groups and all this. But the January 6th people, I saw a lot of fear and pain there as well. But if it really is about diversity, I don't see how we ever solve that problem if they really don't like diversity. But just wondering what your thoughts are on that. What is at the heart of MAGA?
Great question, Matt. Thank you so much. Got a minute
Fantastic
left,
Trigvy. Yeah, Matt. I think there's a few things. One, I think there's some laws of unintended consequence. If you trace it way back, the conservative movement in America was founded on certain grievance, some of which had legitimacy to them. A lot of those they won, but they continued the grievances. And when problems have been solved or addressed, compromise has been found, they continued on to create additional grievance and false grievance. And that really is at its core.
Ran out of time, Trigvy. Always happens. But who you got quickly, Packers or the Cowboys?
We're taking McCarthy down, Todd. I love it.
Fantastic. Trigvy, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
All right. See ya. Thank you.
Stay tuned for hour two of the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Say it with me, the Bucs in six. And you can catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on locally grown radio, WFHR, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Mike. Friday nights at 7 on locally grown radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM, WFHR.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.